our desire. He's first and foremost. This isn't about us. This isn't about the old clothes. This isn't about this church building. It's about Jesus. He said, If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Amen. And that's our desire this morning, is to uplift and preach about Jesus. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, with us this morning, and to St. Matthew chapter number 11. St. Matthew chapter number 11. We'll take our text from there. We do want to thank everyone for words of condolences and prayers for our family and my brother's loss, and just ask you to continue to pray for my brother's wife and his extended family there, and just pray that God would just comfort their hearts and meet their needs as only He can do. And then I'm retiring, I'm on my way out the door. I thank you for your congratulations and your wishes for that, and for my birthday. Another year older and deeper in debt, the old song says. I just hit 60. Praise God. He's been good to me. He's blessed me. On Thursday, I turned 60, but I got an early birthday present. The day before, I got my third great-grandson, my great-grandchild, my second great-grandson. Little Colton Dale Miller was born on Wednesday, about 1:14 in the afternoon, 7 pounds, 6 ounces, and 20 and a quarter inches long, and we are happy, we're excited, we're thrilled that God has filled our quiver. Amen. The Bible says, blessed is the man that has this quiver full. Mine's overflowing, mine's overrunning, and I thank God for that. Amen. And you couldn't ask for a better birthday gift than that. And if you have found Matthew chapter 11, if you're able, we would invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace, please? John asked, "Are you the one that we're looking for? Do we need to be looking for another?" I don't know what the world is looking for today. I don't know what you're looking for. But I tell you what, if you're not looking for Jesus, you're looking for the wrong thing. If you're not looking to Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place. Amen. And if you don't desire to know Jesus, I pity you this morning more than anything else in this world. You see, John was a man, he knew the Lord. He was not only his cousin, but he was his predecessor. He was the one that went before. For as the prophets in the Old Testament had preached, Malachi said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and he was the one who was to go, the forerunner. He was the second Isaiah, they say. He was the prophet that was to come and was to proclaim and was to announce and was to point to the world the Christ, the living God, the Messiah, the one that had been longed for, the one who was desired, the one whom Israel had waited for and had set their hopes and their affections upon. And John knew Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew him in person, and he knew what he was going to do. But then John gets thrown into prison. Now here's John, a man that's doing everything that God had called for him to do. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher that did not yield in his preaching. He was a preacher that preached when everyone else was wavering. He was preaching repentance. He was preaching getting right with God and getting your hearts where they need to be. He was a hard line preacher. I tell you what the world needs today is more hard line preachers. Preachers that got a backbone like a telephone pole and ain't afraid to call sin sin. We deal dabble around about it. We're afraid to tell sinners that they're sinners. But John was not. As a matter of fact, the reason that John was in prison at this time was he dared to tell old King Herod that he had sinned for taking his brother Philip's wife unto himself, contrary to the word of God. He was in jail. Friend, I think the day is coming we're going to see some Christians in jail. Amen. I've been telling folks this. I don't know how many have looked it up. I know Brother Jim asked me the other day, for you that aren't aware how close it's getting in America, it's already been in Canada, and Canada preachers are already in prison for preaching the truth. Amen. For preaching against sin, they are already in prison. Massachusetts, as a matter of fact, the law went into effect yesterday. You aware of this, Brother Richard? In Massachusetts, they have just passed a law that any facility, whether it's a religious facility or any public facility, has to facilitate anyone who wants to identify however they want to identify. That means in a church, even a religious institution has to acknowledge an individual. Man comes in dressed like a woman and you got a locker room and he wants to go into the locker room. You cannot forbid him under penalty of the law, and you will be arrested and you will go to jail. That law came into effect not in Canada, not somewhere else, but in the United States of America, in Massachusetts, as of yesterday. It went into effect. Wasn't it yesterday? It went into effect. If you don't believe me, go look it up. Check it out. It's the truth, and the truth will stand when the world's on fire for preaching righteousness, for standing against sin. People will be going to jail. You know, our church is a public, even though we're a private body, so to speak. Our doors are open to the public, and when these issues face us, we're going to have to deal with these issues, and the laws are getting stricter, and one day we're going to see preachers, we're going to see Christians, we're going to see individuals who'll stand for the truth of God's word in prison because of the standing for the truth. That's where John has found himself. He preached the truth, and now they got him in jail. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves imprisoned by the circumstances of this world, and we begin to fear, we begin to doubt, we begin to wonder. And I believe that's where John was. John knew, if you look back in John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, and this isn't John the Baptist, this is John the Apostle writing, it says in verse number 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John knew who he was dealing with. John knew who he was talking with. But circumstances came into John's life just like circumstances come into your life. Has anyone here never been to a time when you haven't had circumstances in your life? If you are here, I'd like to shake hands with you, because my life is filled with circumstances. Amen. My life is filled with problems, and it's easy to get our eyes on our circumstances and to get our eyes on our problems and to get our eyes off the fact and the truth that Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, as the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. And praise God, one day he saved me, a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that deserved to be in the depths of hell, but praise God, he saved me anyway. Amen. And not only that, he has blessed me, continually. His hand upon me. He has watched over me. He has kept me. He's brought me through storms and through trials. And I know that He is. And I know that He can. I know that He will. And I know that He was. But we go through problems. And then the old devil comes along and says, does He really care? Does God really care? Does God really know what you're going through? Will God really meet your needs? Well, let me tell you, friends, I can tell you by experience that yes, He does. And yes, He will. I talk to people who get discouraged. I talk to people who are mad. A young man that come to this altar and made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ just a couple of months ago. And a few weeks later, his daughter was killed in a car accident. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard from him. He won't talk to me. He won't return my calls. He won't answer me anywhere. He needs much prayer. He told me I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God. People get mad at God because God didn't do what they thought He should do when they thought He should do it. People get mad at God because God didn't live up to their unbiblical expectations of what God said He would do. I read of a lady who told a preacher she was mad at God and she didn't want nothing to do with his God because her sister had committed suicide and God did not do one thing to prevent it. Let me tell you something. God has given each and every one of us a free will to make the choices and the decisions that we choose to make for our own lives. And He's not accountable for what we do with what He has given us. Amen. Amen. We place unreasonable expectations, unbiblical expectations. We place unholy expectations on God. We want to live like hell and then wonder why God don't bless us with showers of blessings from on high when our lives are totally out of the will of God. And we blame God because we're not blessed like other people. We blame God because we have made mistakes and we have done this and we have done that. And we're looking for something. We're looking for a God. We're looking for a Savior. We're looking for a deliverer that meets our expectations and that forms into our mold instead of the God and the Savior and the Lord and the one that loves us that the Bible tells us about. Amen. The Pharisees were always looking for a sign. The Pharisees were always wanting to know more of my lands. They'd seen Him work miracles. They'd heard the report of the blinded eyes that were open, of the lame bodies that had been healed, of the cripples that had been made whole. Praise God. They knew of the lunatics. That man, praise God, we got a world full of lunatics today. Amen. And God can heal them. God can straighten them out today. The lunatics that He meant, the mad man of Gadara, the dude in the nude in a really bad mood. Praise God. He changed his life around. Amen. We see the lunatic son of the man there in Mark chapter 6 that would fall in the fire. He would fall in the water and the evil spirits that were with him would cause him to do things to harm himself and Jesus commanded them and they came out of him. Jesus changed things around and praise God. We don't want that God. We want some other kind of God and I don't understand why. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? John says, are you him or should we look for another? What are you looking for today? He will take your sins and wash them and make you clean and make you whole. He'll put your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He'll cast your sins so far away as the east is from the west. Praise God. He'll do for you what no one else can do for you. What are you looking for? Amen. What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Who can do for you what He can do? Amen. Jesus asked His disciples, the Pharisees said, we want a sign. We would see a sign. Jesus said, you don't need no other signs. I've given you enough. Amen. Isn't everything I've done enough? It would have not been enough then. Amen. It would not have been enough then. He says, I've given you all these signs. You don't need any other signs. Amen. You've got all that you need. And they went away. They went away. And Jesus asked His disciples, He said, are you going to go away also? Oh, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. Where are you going to go to find out what Jesus can do? Where are you going to go to find someone that can do what Jesus can do? Where are you going to go to get what Jesus can give you? He can cleanse you. He can make you whole. He can change you. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, they say you're one of the prophets. You're this one. You're that one. You're that. He said, but who do you say I am? Peter again. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. He got it right. He got it right. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus had done. He knew what Jesus could do. And he knew it, why Jesus had come. And praise God, even when it got down to the knit and grit of things, when things got tough, even Peter wavered in his faith. It's easy to waver when trials come. It's easy to waver when the devil comes. It's easy to doubt. Have you ever doubted? All right, those that haven't raised your head or shook your head, yes, you might as well come on to the altar right now. Amen. You might as well come on. Man, there's been times that I've doubted. There's been times the old devil comes along, Billy, and says, you're not saved. You're not saved. He couldn't really do that for you, Brother Reeves. He couldn't do that for you. Praise God. Yes, he can. Yes, he did. And let me tell you, if you're here this morning, you don't know him as your Savior. You've never asked him into your heart. You never put your sins under the blood. He could save you this morning. Let me tell you, I don't care what the devil will make you doubt right there where you're at this morning. Then we see Jesus said, well, how can I affirm this? How can I make this perfectly clear? People today are putting unreasonable expectations. They're looking for unbiblical faith and unbiblical truths and unbiblical identification in who Jesus is. But Jesus said, let me tell you how you can know for sure. He says, go show John again those things which you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. You say, well, that's all well and good, preacher. You can tell me those things. Those are all Bible stories. And we're glad that we have been able to hear the Bible stories. But I haven't seen a miracle. I haven't seen a miracle that God has done. I haven't seen him do these things like he did in the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. You're sitting in a church full of miracles. Hey man, come on out here. Come on out here. I've asked some folks to help me this morning to preach just a little bit. I've asked some folks to come out here so you can see some miracles of God's grace, some miracles of God's mercy, some miracles of what God can do in a life. I tell you what, cancer has a lot of power. Cancer scares a lot of people. Cancer takes a lot of lives. But praise God, we got a God that can still heal. If it's his will, we got a God that can still make a change. Here's one right here. That's a miracle of God's grace, of his hand of mercy upon him, knowing what God is able to do. Now, honey, you just stay right there. There's some other folks that are going to help you this morning. Praise God. I want you to see another miracle, a miracle of grace that's standing right here. He's dressed like an old hippie this morning, but praise God, he can save and has saved old hippies. A man that will testify of what God has delivered him from, of addiction that he dealt with, addiction that he fought with, addiction that he troubled with for years. And praise God, rebirth will do what rehab will never accomplish. Amen. And by the grace of God and the miracles of God, he's found a deliverance from his storm. He's found deliverance. A miracle of God that is evident for you to see. Come on, Sammy. Come on. Sammy said she'd help me this morning. Praise God. She just went through a trial in her life. Several weeks in the hospital. Several weeks of trying to recover. Several weeks of hearing this and hearing that. And hearing that this can happen. And that can happen. And this might happen. And this is going to happen. But praise God, she chose chose to trust God. She chose to place her faith in Him and what He's able to do. She chose to let Him work in her life. And praise God, she stands before you this morning, a miracle of God's amazing grace. Jesus said, go tell them what you see. Go tell them what you're aware of. Go tell them what's been happening. Go tell them what God is doing. Oh, Brother Jack, here, my gosh, a few years ago, they told him he had to have surgery for his carotid arteries. He was clogged up. They'd done 3 tests, 3 ultrasounds to be sure exactly how much that he was clogged up. Now, this is no lie. This is a fact, and the people in this church can tell you it happened just like this. 3 times he went, and they told him, what was it, 80 or 90% clogged up, and absolutely positively had to have surgery on his carotid arteries if he was going to get better. And praise God, we began to pray for Brother Jack and praise His name the day that he went in for surgery. They were going to mark the arteries where they needed to go in and do the surgery, and they'd done the ultrasound, and they'd done the ultrasound. And praise God, they come out and said, guess what? That there is nothing there. There's nothing to operate on. There's nothing to do. Let me tell you what. That's a miracle that you can see. That's a miracle that you can experience. That's a miracle that you can know. Oh, praise God. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we do things that we're not happy about. And we know God's not happy about. And we know that in our life we've let God down in some way. Oh, but praise God, by the miracle of grace, He forgives us and He uses us. Joyce, He came to me, said, I made a mistake. He said, do you think God will use me? I said, praise God. Joyce, have you asked Him to forgive you? She said, yeah. She said, do you think everybody else will? I said, it don't matter what everybody else does. The only thing that matters in your life is what Jesus has done. And by the miracle of God's grace, she found forgiveness. She found that God will take a broken vessel and He'll mend it and He'll use it. And now she's teaching the little ones in Sunday school class. She's been working with my wife, and now my wife has had her this quarter. Joyce is teaching the class and the little ones, and praise God, God is going to use her. God is going to bless her. God is going to move in her life and do what only God can do. Oh, praise God. I didn't break ask Brother Richard, but praise God, I want to show you here a miracle of God's grace, a miracle of trusting God. You come on up here, folks. Amen. You come on up here with the rest of these folks. Amen. Praise God. One day God called him into the mission work, into the mission field. He said, Richard, I want you and Ann to sell your home. I want you to sell everything you got and get rid of it, because I got something for you to do. And you know what he did? He did just what God wanted him to do. And you know what God is doing? God is using Brother Richard and Sister Ann in a mighty way to help churches in whatever capacity. That man can do anything. He carries a machine shop, a carpenter shop, a woodworking shop. He's got everything that you can imagine set out in this truck that he designed and built and had specifically built for what he's done. He can go to a church. He can do anything. He's welded a step into a bus that needed a new step to repair it so that it would be safe for the people that rode the bus. Here recently, he's done building projects. He's done landscaping projects. He's getting ready to head out to Ocala, Florida to help to build a new building for a church down there. Praise God. And by the grace of God, he's sustained. By the grace of God, he has found that every need that he has is met. By the grace of God, he's found that in the midst of trials and in the midst of troubles, God is able and God can and God will. Praise God. You say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't meet my need. God didn't do what I thought God should do. Praise God. Several years ago, you remember when my grandbaby was in the University of Maryland, and she was there. She had a birth defect in her heart, and they said, we're going to have to go in and we're going to have to do some surgery. And they was in surgery for about 6 hours. And the doctors came out and we prayed, God, you know what we want. Oh God, you know what our desire is. Oh God, you know what we're asking for and what we need. Oh, but God, we pray that thy will be done and not mine. And when the doctors came and I seen them standing in the hallway and they were all gathered together and they were whispering, I knew that the news wasn't good. I knew that God had moved differently than I thought that he was going to move, Sister Ann. And praise God, I went out and I asked him, I said, she didn't make it, did they? He said, no. But you know what? He's still on the throne. You know what? His grace is still sufficient. You know what? God can meet our every need. Jesus said, go tell them what you see. Go tell them what's happening. Go tell them what's going on. Go tell them the things that you know that they need to hear. Go tell them and go tell them. Come on, George. Let's walk on up here just a minute. Let's walk on up here and just share something that folks can see what's going on. I didn't ask George. The Lord just told me to go get him. George needs to come up here. George was a praying, and George had a church of praying. George had a church of seeking for God to intervene and for God to move and for God to work and for God to do what only God can do. And God didn't answer prayers the way that George thought that God would answer his prayer and was hoping that God could answer his prayer and he could hear that there was no cancer, or he could hear that we got it all, that it could hear that it's all been removed. But you know what George is finding? The same thing the Apostle Paul found when he said, God, I've got this problem I need for you to remove. God said, I'm not going to remove it, but my grace is sufficient. My grace is made powerful in weakness. My grace is made evident when nothing else can work. And George is finding that to be so true right now. Jesus said, go tell them what you see. I tell you what, I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what you're wanting. Oh, confuse us. He was a wise man. He was a great teacher. Buddha was a wise man. He was a great teacher. But none of these people, Socrates, Euripides, and all these old ancients were great teachers, were wise men. Oh, but none of them could do what Jesus can do. None of them had the words of life that Jesus had. None of them can move a life and change a life and move the mountains out of your life the way that Jesus could. And praise God, I want you to see the evidence of God's grace this morning and what God can do. And friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, he wants to save you. If you don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, praise God, he said, whosoever. And praise God, one day I was whosoever. Today you can be whosoever. And praise God, you can ask him into your heart and into your life. You can see Jesus make a change in you. You folks can be seated. We'll try to finish the message. We know we're running late. Oh, but praise the Lord. He said, go show them. Go show, John. Go show. I don't know what you're looking for this morning. I don't know what you're needing this morning, but I tell you this, Jesus is it. Jesus is all you need. Jesus can do. Go ahead, Brother Eve. Go ahead, Brother Eve. Amen. Amen. If you didn't hear that, he said in June of 2010, they told him he'd be dead within 2 years. And praise God, look where he's at today. Amen. Look what he's saying today. Look what he's testifying to today. The very things that Jesus Christ himself told his disciples to go tell John. We knew what John, he knew where John was. He knew what John's circumstances were. He knows what yours are today. But look in verse number 6. And blessed is he who's whosoever shall not be shall not be offended in me. Praise God. I'm glad he's there to encourage. I'm glad He's there to strengthen. I'm glad He's there to help us. He says, go and see. The blind receive the sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up again. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Oh, but blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. I praise God if you'll just turn to him, if you'll just draw to him, if you'll just cling to him, he'll help you. Oh, Abraham, he had his moments of doubt when he left everything he had, Brother Richard and Ur, the Chaldees, and went into the place where Jesus told him to go. Things happened. He went into Egypt and he began to fear and he began to doubt and he began to trust in himself and done things his way. And praise God, it didn't turn out too good. But by the end of his life, as he was walking his son Isaac up Mount Moriah, Isaac said, Father, we got the wood. Father, we got the fire. Father, we got everything we need. We're here, but there's one thing that we're lacking. And he said, where's the lamb? He said, don't worry. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And praise God, he found out that God was always there to meet the need, and God would always supply. Oh, David, he walked close to God most of the time. But there were times when he walked astray. There were times when he wasn't where he needed to be. And he said, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And Jesus met his need. Amen. And David learned to cry. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my soul is overwhelmed, I'm losing my voice, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Psalm 61 verses 1 and 2. David learned where his strength was. Amen. How we see old Elijah as he stood on Mount Carmel, as he done battles with the forces of the devil, the forces of evil, the forces of darkness. And we see when God answered his prayer and he lapped up the sacrifice and he lapped up the water and he honored Elijah's sacrifice. He honored Elijah's truth and he gave him victory and they slew the 850 prophets and servants of Baal. On that day, God gave him victory. And then old Jezebel said, if I don't make you about like them tomorrow about this time, he said, my name ain't what it is. And he ran and he hid. He feared and he doubted. Oh, but God said, Elijah, what'd you see? He said, I seen the earthquake. I seen the thunder. I felt the world shake. I heard all the noise. God said, I wasn't in all those things. But praise God, I was there to speak the word that you needed to hear. And it might have been so quiet that you had to listen very intently to hear it. I believe that still small voice said, it's okay. It's okay. Praise God. I'm here. It's okay. Praise God, I'm here. Everything's all right. Old Peter followed Jesus, and he warmed himself by the enemy's fire. And when they confronted him, he denied him. When they confronted him, he said, no, I don't know him. But then he went, and he wept bitterly. He went out, and he found forgiveness. He went out, and he found restoration. He went out, and he went fishing. And Jesus come and found him and said, this isn't what I called you to do. I called you to be a fisher of men, and it's time that you get out and that you start to fishing like I want you to. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And Peter went on to be one of the greatest apostles, the greatest servants of the Lord that God had called. Friend, the devil brings doubts. Friend's life brings circumstances that can cause us to doubt. And the devil can make you run from God instead of running to God. If you start looking at the devil, and start to stop looking at the Lord. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation.